quarterback missed that short field goal and had one block. So I'm just shocked that they didn't – how they pulled the scholarship off for the Jeff Sims. I mean, he was their guy.
Right.
I think they made a mistake there.
And, you know, look, he didn't play a perfect game for Georgia Tech, but to your point, he was a commitment to Florida State. He ends up at Georgia Tech, and he gets the last laugh as Georgia Tech now 1-0 and Florida State 0-1.
Yeah, it's incredible what's going on with both of our schools. Miami, the only way they got a decent quarterback for the first time in almost 20 years is they had to go the grad transfer route. So, you know, at least we got that with De'Ara King.
Which, by the way, that'll be one of the games we'll be looking at. What did you learn, by the way, before we get into our first game? What did you learn from an NFL perspective as far as no preseason games? One of the things that I saw, certainly, you know, quarterbacks not always being on the same page as receivers, and I think it's just because it's tough to match that game speed. So you saw a lot of passes being thrown behind the backs of receivers. And, you know, fortunately for a lot of these quarterbacks, those numbers could have been a lot worse as far as turnovers, as far as throwing interceptions, where in a lot of cases, I think these defensive backs got caught off guard and like, oh, the ball's right in our hands. And so those numbers could have been even a lot worse over the weekend.
Yeah, I thought the quarterback play wasn't bad at all. I mean, you know, without a preseason game, it's almost incredible. Look at someone like Joe Burrow. I mean, look what he did. First game, he was decent. Last night, I thought he was incredible. I mean, for the protection he had, which was spotty at best, boy, I mean, they don't have a whole lot right now, but if they can keep him healthy, they're going to have a pretty good team in a couple years.
All right, let's get things started. Central Florida taking on Georgia Tech, and we mentioned Georgia Tech. Once again, you have to, you know, hats off to them, you know, hanging around and then getting a nice win to begin the year. Look, it's not the Florida State of old. I understand that. Central Florida, now this will be interesting to see how the playoff committee looks at the teams from the American Athletic Conference when they'll have a full complement of games being played. And then you mentioned the Big Ten, where, you know, how you're going to compare, say, an unbeaten team, if there is one, from the American Athletic Conference with a team that a one-loss team that played three or so fewer contests. And that'll be one of those things. But, you know, that's down the road. First things first, here's Central Florida trying to get, what, their second national championship in the last 5 years? Joke, right there. But Central Florida.
Proclaimed national
championship. Exactly. Looking for another parade at Disney World. But tomorrow afternoon, a 2:30 start time, Central time, over in Atlanta. Central Florida, a 7.5-point favorite against Georgia Tech. And by the way, all three of us, you, myself, along with Alan Bell, all started the year 3-2. So we're off to, that's 60%. So we'll like that. We'll take that. Central Florida, Georgia Tech. I like Georgia Tech only because they've got the one game and they're getting 7.5. They may not win this game, but I think Central Florida will struggle at times to get on the right page. I think Central Florida probably wins a close game. But the 7.5 point, you know, to me, that's just a little bit too much. So I'm going to take Georgia Tech plus the 7.5 because I really thought that they did, you know, enough good things last week in Tallahassee. So I'm going to take them. And Allen's on the other side. He's taking UCF and giving the 7.5.
So I think Florida State's a mess. And so even though Georgia Tech is improved, you know, they got three grad transfers to come in on the offensive line, and they were able to shore up that weakness. But I just don't think they're that much better. And sometimes I don't know if Central Florida man-for-man is much better than Georgia Tech, but it's the style of play. So they go quick. They're going to get an extra 12 to 15 plays in a game than you normally see in college football. And Central Florida is one of these teams. I think they're better early in the season. They catch teams just not used to being on the field that long and the pace. And they just hit on big plays here. More plays means more scoring. I like Central Florida 38-24.
So you don't think they're going to have any hiccups as far as with the preparation, COVID-19, everything else leading into this game?
Not Central Florida.
All right.
One of the few teams that may not.
All right, so we can at least for another week brag about this. I think this will be the last time we say this the rest of the year. But how about tomorrow night, 6:30 start time, until the SEC and Big Ten kick in? You know, right now the ACC enjoying these nice top 25 matchups. But you got Louisville. You know, they took care of business against Western Kentucky. taking on Miami, the Hurricanes, taking care of business against UAB. So what do we know about them? I think we look at where they are, and you have to go all the way back to midway through 2018, the last time the Hurricanes were ranked in the top 20 like this. And once again, I think this will be the last time they're ranked in the top 20 the rest of the year. Louisville at home, a 2.5-point favorite. Not going with your heart. I'm going to be interested to see if you go with your head or not. But I'm going to take Louisville at home, giving the 2.5. And once again, Alan on the opposite side, he's going to take the Hurricanes and plus the 2.5.
I knew I liked Alan. I mean, great guy. So obviously my heart tells me Miami. I just think that this is Louisville's circle game. This is the game that they've wanted the entire offseason. So they played poorly in the game last year at Miami. They gave up 52 points. I think 3 or 4 of the touchdowns were busts in coverage by the Louisville secondary. In that game, Cunningham, their quarterback, and Becton, their star offensive lineman, went out of that game. And I think that contributed to the loss. But Miami played their best game and Louisville their worst game. Miami, 4 clear weaknesses in the offseason they needed to shore up. They got a kicker, grad transfer from FIU. They had lost 3 games last year, 1 with a missed extra point and 2 with short field goals of less than 30 yards. So check mark there. They got De'Ara King. I think he's going to be the best quarterback since Ken Dorsey. But still, the offensive line is just not very good. I don't know if any of these kids on the offensive line would start for a power team like an Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, or Ohio State. So still really poor on the offensive line. And cornerback position's a problem. They got 1 pretty good cornerback in Blades Jr., but the other side with Ivy, I just think the kid's weak. And behind him, they only have 5 total cornerbacks on the roster. Another one hit the transfer portal last week. And then 2 of those 5 kids are true freshmen. So I think that they're going to try to expose the cornerbacks here. And Tutu Atwell, a kid that Miami should have gone after. He wanted to come here, if memory serves me correct. And then, they went for Jeff Thomas instead. Kid was always seemed to be in trouble. Suspended quite often, and turned out didn't make the roster for the Patriots. So I think Tutu Atwell is going to be a tough guard here, and I love Scott Satterfield. I just think it's 17-8-1 against the spread, one of the rising young stars here in college football, the coaching ranks. I think it's going to be a great game, though, in a barn burner, Louisville 42-38.
All right, before we get into the NFL action, remind the listeners, if they're catching you for the first time, what can you do for them, not just this weekend, but what can they expect throughout the year for you?
So, we won the first week. We went 2-1 last week, 8-5. And this past week already started off with a winner on the total, again, with Cincinnati and Cleveland on Monday night. So they want to hop on board. Now's the time. We rate our games from 10 to 50 units. Our service is a phone service. You call once a day. You hear every single game on a tape. And we have our first 40 to 50 unit play. And as you can attest to, Johnny, you get these games. We send you these 40 to 50 unit plays. We're over 75% over the last decade on these big releases. So if they'd like to get that game that goes tomorrow, 2 weeks, just $297, ParamountSports.com.
All right, let's turn our attention to the NFL, and all 3 of our NFL games we're looking at involve teams from the AFC South. First up, Baltimore and Houston. Boy, how about this? The Titans fans are going to be pulling for Baltimore. I think the NFL must hate Houston. They start the year on that Thursday night against Kansas City, and then they have to follow that up by hosting Baltimore coming up on Sunday. And we don't know what the future holds as far as there'll be teams, certainly with players having to sit out because of COVID-19, et cetera. A great opportunity if you're a fan of the Titans to be pulling for Baltimore with a chance for Houston to start the year 0-2. I started Baltimore right behind Kansas City in my preseason power ratings in the NFL. And just watching Baltimore, I understand they beat Cleveland, and certainly Houston is better than Cleveland. But with that said, just Baltimore executed like they were in midseason form last week. And I expect that to continue. I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm going to expect them to put Houston in the 0-2 hole to begin the year. So I'm taking the Ravens minus 7. Allen is also on the same side, taking the Ravens minus 7 against Houston on Sunday.
Again, this is the second week. I mean, we're on opposite sides the first three games. Here's a telling stat, and I look at this often. As good as I think Baltimore is, I think this is the game that Houston wants. They were embarrassed at home, 41-7 last year. The last 34 offenses that have scored 50 or more touchdowns during the past 12 years average nearly 12 fewer touchdowns the following season. I got to think that these teams in the offseason spent a lot of time looking to defense Lamar Jackson here, and I just think that Houston's one of those teams that's going to improve a lot from the first week to the next. They had a lot of moving parts, receiver and running back, that they had to work in that they didn't have weren't able to play a preseason game, and I think that hurt them. So I'm going to call for the biggest upset of the weekend, Houston 34-28 over Baltimore.
Wow. All right, yep. So Indianapolis, you know, when the Colts were able to acquire the services of Phillip Rivers, you know, just something about these quarterbacks, you know, who they realize, you know, more games behind in front, they're approaching these games, just like we saw with Ben Roethlisberger on Monday night, like a kid in a candy store, just enjoying the moment, right? So I expected the Colts to get off to a good start, and then what do? They laid the egg against Jacksonville, and when you look at, you know, what Jacksonville, I'm still trying to figure out how they even won this game against the Colts, because right now when you look at their rankings as far as offensively and defensively in the NFL, they're in the bottom two in both categories. And so, you know, with that said, so here's Indianapolis at home, and now they're taking on a Minnesota team that has playoff aspirations for the year, and Minnesota laid an egg against Green Bay. Both teams need a win. Neither team wants to begin 0-2. You got Indianapolis at home. They're giving Minnesota the 3. You know, I think, yeah, to me, the fact that they are at home, I still believe in Phillip Rivers, and I feel like he can have a bounce back performance. His back is against the wall, so I'm going to take the Colts, give Minnesota the 3, and once again, I'm on the opposite side with Allen. Allen has taken Minnesota plus the 3.
Okay, so we're on the right side here, hopefully. So I think Indianapolis can be a good team. They just, for some reason, can never go to Jacksonville and win. Doesn't make sense, but they can't. The problem for Minnesota, if Indianapolis is able to bully them and can control the line of scrimmage, then that will set up the passing game. That's when Phillip Rivers is most effective. And Minnesota has 3 cornerbacks that are all 23 years or younger. They're 2 defensive ends, which really had big-time seasons last year and were one of the main reasons they were one of the better teams. Not with the team. I mean, right now, Everson Griffin, he goes to Dallas in the offseason in free agency, and Danielle Hunter, he's on the mend with a neck injury. So I like Indy here, 28-20.
All right, and then finally coming up on Sunday, the Tennessee Titans. Look, the game should not have been close on Monday night. If you add the 11 points that they did not get because of the kicking game, we wouldn't even been talking that negatively as far as on Tuesday, but it did occur. Tennessee did need a last second field goal to beat Denver, but hey, it's a win, it's on the road, and you march on. Coming up on Sunday, they're taking on Jacksonville, a team with a surprise win over Indianapolis, and so now they're on the road. The Titans have won the last 6 meetings against Jacksonville in Nashville. They've also won 7 out of the last 9 contests, and Derrick Henry is just making a career against Jacksonville. And when these two teams match up, all you have to do is just look at what he's been able to get done, you know, against the Jaguars. I mean, we go back to, you know, 2 seasons ago with that Thursday night performance, 238 yards, including a 99-yard touchdown run. Last year against Jacksonville, he had a 159-yard game with 2 scores. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and he's doing it not just with his legs. He's also caught a long touchdown pass against Jacksonville as far as taking it short and then taking it to the house back in 2017. With that said, you know, it's Jacksonville, and for whatever reason, sometimes Tennessee plays down to Jacksonville. I don't think they have to worry about getting a loss, but they are going to be without the services of A.J. Brown. I think the secondary is questionable, especially the fact that they don't have a Dory Jackson for the first few weeks of this season as well. And, you know, to me, I think Jacksonville will do just enough to linger around, But the fact that they also get the 7.5, to me, that was the difference maker. So I'm going to take the Jaguars. They're going to lose the game, but I'm going to take the 7.5. And Alan Bell is on the other side. He's taking the Titans, giving the 7.5.
So when I look at this game, I just think that Jacksonville's going to try to shorten the game. Gardner Minshew, he doesn't throw long too often, but boy, is he accurate. 19 for 20 last week. And I like his receivers. You know, they add to that receiving core. Chenault, the receiver from Colorado, and you know, they just move the chains, and their defensive line is underrated. Yeah, they got rid of some star players, but sometimes you don't need those guys to compete. And I think coming off that game, I think it was a physical game against Denver. Obviously, they should have won the game by more, but on the short week and facing Jacksonville, more than a touchdown a lot of times is a little too much in the NFL. I think Tennessee wins this game here 23-20, but I like Jacksonville plus the points.
All right, and then finally the game of the week. You have Troy, a 3-point favorite against Middle Tennessee State.
Well, yeah, if they want to get that game, have a strong feeling on that game, just call 800-400-9741. In fact, I'll even throw in the basketball game tonight, the Lakers in Denver. So in Miami, we're obviously very attuned to what's going on the other side of the NBA. Would love to, if Miami wins and makes it to the championship, face LeBron in the finals. That would be outside of the Denver Lakers final, the Boston Lakers final, I think would be very intriguing for the national stage also. So if they want to get both games for free, just call 800-400-9741. Like I said, we're on a roll to start the year. You're looking to hop on board. Now's the time. Don't wait until November, December. And just go to ParamountSports.com.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy. Have an incredible weekend. Happy winnings, and we'll talk again next Friday.
Okay. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Lee Sterling, handicapper with Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com. Once again, if you want the free picks, 800-400-9741. That's 800-400-9741. Coming up on the other side, we'll have a chance to visit with Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. He's coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. There's still some flashing lights here as a worker situation. They're calling it an incident here on I-24 up by Shelby, up past the football stadium. It's already crazy.
And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website virtualnashvilleflea.com to get more details. And for more information, visit the website thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
Hey, Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Saunier, executive producer of WNSR, and I'm here reminding you that Bongo Job at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the best place to start your day in the Music City. Their new limited summer hours and menu is simply the best in town. From burritos to smoothies, plus the new biscuit sandwiches and croissants, Bongo Java has you covered. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown, they're open from 7 to 11 a.m., and make sure you tell them Crazy Charlie sent you.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future. He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show. To former Tennessee Titans head coach Jeff Fisher.
Bud wouldn't pay to have a divider put up in the trailer to where we could divide up offense and defense. So we would send the offense next door. Oh, by the way, they shared a building with a pediatrician and a daycare. So
live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming your way at 5:46, another update, round two of the U.S. Open from Westwood One. And then at 5:55, pregame coverage with first pitch at 6:10, game one of the three-game series for the Braves as they take on the New York Mets. The left-hander Max Fried on the mound tonight for the Braves, 6-0 on the season, ERA under 2. It bodes well for the Braves to start this series off on a good start. Don't forget, Ian Anderson tomorrow for the Braves, and then finally Vandy Boy himself, Kyle Wright, getting the start on Sunday, looking to establish a winning streak after getting his first major league victory as a pitcher for the Braves in his last outing. Chance right now to talk some college football, NFL, with Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Sportsline.com is the site. All right, so we start week two off last night between Cleveland and Cincinnati. And it's Cleveland and Cincinnati, not two of the better teams in the NFL. But if you're looking for offense, you certainly got it last night, and you got a nice showing from Joe Burrow with the 61 pass attempts.
Yeah, he did. First, I appreciate you having me back, buddy. Yeah, last night's game was pretty good. You know, going into it, you know, Bengals-Browns doesn't exactly get everyone fired up. But we were you know, treated to a nice little game. I've got to give Joe Burrow credit. I mean, you know, the crazy thing is that the Browns won the game, and won it kind of handedly. However, the talk is Joe Burrow. I mean, this guy threw two games against pretty decent teams, the Chargers and the Browns, two good, you know, defenses, without any offensive line whatsoever. He's putting up numbers, man. I'm proud of this guy. He is, with no preseason, a weird offseason, man, he's playing tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know now, are you able to get excited at all about Cleveland moving forward? I mean, they certainly looked awful against Baltimore. I don't know, you know, from what happened in the preseason going into week one last year when they were a darling pick to make the run to a Super Bowl to where they are now. What is the ceiling for them this year?
Well, their ceiling is pretty high. I mean, you look at that team. I mean, if they put everything together offensively, you know, they can throw the ball down the field. They can run the ball, certainly. They've got, you know, a few deficiencies on the offensive line, and they certainly have a heck of a defense, especially Myles Garrett, you know, on the defensive line. I mean, this team's ceiling can be pretty high. And you know, here's the thing. You know, it's tough to gauge them against Baltimore in week one because, again, Baltimore pretty much do that against almost anyone. We saw what they did last year in week one and week two. I mean, they're just a hot start type of team. And don't be surprised if Baltimore lays it on the Houston Texans this coming Sunday. They're just a fantastic team. So it's tough to truly gauge where Cleveland is right now. They clearly have some work to do, but they could be a pretty good team. I mean, it's really going to come down to if they have any postseason aspirations. They're going to have to take care of Pittsburgh in the division. Baltimore's going to win it, but they're going to have to take care of Pittsburgh in order to do so.
Yeah, I look at you bring up Baltimore as they take on Houston. First of all, I think the NFL must hate Houston for some reason because they get Kansas City and now Baltimore to begin the year. And Baltimore, you know, based on what they did last year in the regular season, there's a reason why they were the number one seed. I think now if you're a fan of the Ravens, you're already looking ahead and going, okay, can, you know, and there's plenty of games to be played, right? But you're already looking ahead to say, can Baltimore get over the hump as far as the playoffs? And, oh, wait, you're not there yet. But to me, you know, based on the way they performed, and I understand it was Cleveland, but, you know, Baltimore just took care of business and executed the way they needed to in all, you know, facets of the game. And you and I are both on the same page, taking Baltimore, giving Houston the 7. I think this certainly bodes well and creates the opportunity for the Tennessee Titans, especially if they can get the win over Jacksonville. The fact that Houston is 0-2, and the fact that even Indianapolis knowing they're taking on a disappointed Minnesota team that got blown out by Green Bay last week. You know, the Titans could be looking at the fact that both Houston and Indianapolis could begin the year 0-2.
Yeah, I think they do. I certainly think that Baltimore handles their business against Houston. We remember, you know, what they did last year. I think they ended up winning, what, 41-7, something like that, and outgained them by about 300 yards. I've got Minnesota taking down Indianapolis this week. I think Minnesota is going to be looking to bounce back from that Green Bay game. I think the Vikings are a much better team than the Indianapolis Colts are. So, yeah, I think both of those teams start the season 0-2. And if Tennessee takes care of Jacksonville, I mean, obviously, you know, we're only in week two, so, you know, we're not projecting anything. But just think about, you know, if Tennessee can get to 2-0, you've got two rivals going to 0-2, and you just beat Jacksonville in the division. Think about this start compared to 2-4 last year. That's what it's all about. If you're you know, truly wanting to contend for something very important in the NFL, you know, you can't win anything big in the first couple of weeks, but you could certainly hamper yourself down the road. So 2-0 would be a heck of a way to start.
How about Derrick Henry and the Titans on Sunday and what he has done to Jacksonville in recent years? I mean, in eight career games, he's got 714 yards as far as on the ground with nine touchdowns. In addition, he's caught nine balls for 143 yards and a score. Big play after another during the stretch since 2017. Remember the one touchdown reception where he took it to the house for 66 yards? And then that Thursday night game at home where he had the 238 yards, which is a franchise record, and also, along with Tony Dorsett, the only NFL players to have a 99-yard touchdown run. And even last year, 159 yards, two scores in the win against Jacksonville back in November. The fact that the Titans have won six straight at home against Jacksonville, seven of the last nine, but it's still Jacksonville. And I still go back to, you know, the what the Titans did on that Christmas Eve. Jacksonville's just one of those teams, if you're a fan of the Titans, you just never want to take for granted.
No, you don't. You know, this is a game very similar to the Broncos game in the sense of this, that you're a better team. You should win the game, so go out and win the game. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be, you know, filled with highlights or anything like that. Just get the win and get out of there. And I think that's exactly what their attitude is going to be. They're certainly going to need Derrick Henry to have a pretty good game, you know, with A.J. Brown being out and lots of players on the defensive side of the ball being questionable in terms of, you know, with injuries. And I'm not saying that that's going to, you know, Derrick Henry has to go crazy in order for them to win. He doesn't. But it's certainly going to help, right? So I think, again, you know, like you just said, if you're a Titans fan, you look at this game and you know, you just want to get the win, get out of there, be healthy, and move on, you know, to Minnesota. So I think that, you know, I think we'll see a lot cleaner of a game out of Tennessee. Hopefully, you know, that week one to week two, you know, adjustments for the team is pretty nice, cut down the penalties, and the Titans should handle their business. They're a much better team than Jacksonville.
Alan Bell joining us again. One of the things to watch out for, too, from a Titans perspective, is the fact with no A.J. Brown due to the bruised knee, we don't know if it's going to be a couple of weeks. We don't know how long he's going to be out, but he's certainly out for Sunday. And with that said, you know, this means that Corey Davis, and he's in a contract year, per se. You know, he gets off to the seven catches, 101 yards on Monday night against Denver. He needs to step it up, just knowing you're going to be without the services of A.J. Brown.
Yeah, you know what? You bring up an excellent point. Corey Davis, you know, we saw what he did week one, certainly had an excellent game. You know, if you're a guy who wants to get paid, this is a game where you go out and show that you're worthy of getting that money, right? With A.J. Brown being out, if you can come out again and dominate, right? Like, that is how you prove to a team. Because understand, teams want to pay players, right? Like, they want to pay players, especially guys that they draft in the first round. They don't want to, you know, miss on these guys. So if you could go out and show and prove, you know, that you're worth the money, teams will line up to do it. I mean, that's what championship teams do. So I think, you know, certainly he I hope he knows and understands how important this game could be for him. You know, you want to see some out of, you know, Johnny Smith, some of the young receivers. Really, I want to see Ryan Tannehill in the offense open it up a little bit more, a little bit deeper down the field, because again, you know, they were throwing such short, you know, completions against Denver that it didn't really give Derrick Henry really much of a chance to get anything big going. But if they can open that up, that's gonna lead to Derrick Henry even more.
A couple of teams I'm paying attention to is Arizona for real. We saw their nice come from behind win against San Francisco. Kyler Murray, I mean, 230 yards passing, 91 yards on the ground, a touchdown through the air, one on the ground as far as rushing. And now they take on Washington. And so it's almost like interested to see what happens with Arizona. And especially the fact, too, remember, they got DeAndre Hopkins. And seeing if Dwayne Haskins in Washington is better than we thought they were.
Yeah, this is going to be a really fun game to watch. It's not going to get a lot of national attention, but it's going to be a good one. Exactly what you said. You know, Kyler Murray, you know, it seems like him and the Cardinals really didn't skip a beat. I mean, let's be honest. First, they didn't beat some schlub. They beat the 49ers, right? So it looks like they're just kind of just picking up exactly where they ended last season. And like you said, with Washington, that was a heck of a comeback. I know that the Eagles certainly had, you know, injuries all across the offensive line and some on defense as well. But, you know, you erase 17-point deficit, you know, against a playoff team like Philadelphia, you're doing something right. So I'm with you. Like, this should be a fun game. It could be high scoring. It could be low scoring. I just want to see, exactly like you said, what are these two teams about? You know, what kind of metal do they have? Because, again, you know, if Arizona wins this one, I'm not saying that, you know, they're going to win the NFC West, because that's going to be just a fight between four teams. But you start up 2-0, that's a strong start to the season.
All right, as always, we enjoy our chats with you, getting you set up for the weekend. Do me a favor, remind the listeners again what they can expect when they go to sportsline.com.
Yeah, definitely. So we're obviously breaking down everything for NFL Week 2. We've got your graded bets, fantasy, DFS, you name it with that, survivor pools, if you play that. We're getting you ready for college football tomorrow, plus the NBA and the NHL, the Stanley Cup Finals. So go to sportsline.com. Click around, check it out. No matter what sport you're into, I assure you we got you covered.
Alan, have a wonderful weekend. Continue to stay safe, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You too, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. Sportsline.com is a site. Still coming up, don't forget, around 5:46, another update, round 2 of the U.S. Open. And then at 5:55, pregame coverage with first pitch at 6:10, the Atlanta Braves, the first of a 3-game series against the Mets. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. The police are still active working the following accident: 600 block of Shelby Avenue there in East Nashville, 300 block of Harding Place, that's in front of the library there in South Nashville, Murfreesboro Pike at Ransom, they're in the clearing stages of that accident. All the major outbound routes are pretty heavy right now. Check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike, online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
Well, before I left my campsite, I was putting out my fire, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear showed up and hugged me?
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. He likes it when people correctly put out their campfires. He's pretty big on wildfire prevention. He's just letting you know you did good. With a hug. He's a hugger.
I just got a bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
All right, I'm going to let you go now. I've got a lot of ranger stuff to do. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org. Givewestwood.org.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this afternoon. Plenty of sunshine with strong winds. High 75. Those north-northeast gusts to 25 miles per hour. Blustery clear tonight. Low 52. North-northeast winds 10 to 15 with gusts to 25 miles per hour. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the conversation. Don't forget, coming up in just a moment or two, another update from Westwood 1, round 2 of the U.S. Open. That's coming your way. And then Braves baseball once again. 5:55 tonight for the pregame, 6:10 for first pitch. Max Fried, the left-hander for the Braves, fresh off of the disabled list. He'll be on the mound tonight for the Braves. 6-0 on the season, 1.98 ERA. And you look at this matchup with the Braves against the Mets. The Mets sending out Steven Matz. Here's a guy, 0-4 ERA, pushing almost 9, 8.63. The Braves, they've only got 10 more regular season games to go. They've got the three-game cushion over the Marlins, 4.5 games up on Philadelphia, looking to make it 3 straight division titles, and they're well on their way with this matchup tonight. By the way, the Mets, 6 games back. You know, they're still, I guess, technically in the hunt. You know, they're 23-27 with 10 games to go, but they would certainly have to get hot. And look, they've won 2 straight, so... You know, on paper, this does not look like a good matchup for the Mets, but once again, they still have something to play for, still have an opportunity, but they have to continue to stay hot. They cannot afford to, you know, go 5-5 or 6-4. They really need to put together like an 8-2 kind of finish as far as over these last 10 games. You look at the lineup tonight, when you think about the Braves, top of the order with Acuna, Freeman, Ozuna. It starts strong there. Dansby Swanson, he'll be batting 5th tonight, playing shortstop for the Braves. But once again, 5:55 for the pregame. First pitch coming your way at 6:10. Now time for another update as far as round 2 of the U.S. Open from Westwood 1 right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Westwood One Sports presents this special report on the 120th U.S. Open Golf Championship. The top score after round one was 5-under. You knew no one was going that low in round 2 at Winged Foot with trickier pin placements and howling wind. Let's check the leaderboard sponsored by Prevagen. Patrick Reed scratching out an even par 70, and the Masters champion from 2 years back is the outright leader at 4-under. Bryson DeChambeau one shot behind at 3-under. DeChambeau the only player to go under par the first 2 days, 69 followed by 68. Justin Thomas, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Harris English are 2-under, 2 back. Thomas was the first round leader at -5. He shoots 3 over 73 today. Jason Kokrak is 1-under. Tiger Woods birdies 2 of the last 3 holes, but he still misses the cut at 10 over par. Tiger had double bogeys at 16 and 18, part of his first 9. Phil Mickelson, +13. I'm Ted Emmerich, Westwood One Sports.
I am Robert Strickler. My wife Joyce and I have been married for 53 years. We have been blessed with 6 children. I've been taking Prevagen for at least 8 years. Prevagen seems to help me recall things and also think more clearly, and I enthusiastically recommend Prevagen. It has helped me an awful lot.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Now available in stores everywhere. Robert Strickler is a content contributor for Prevagen and real user.
When those leaves start to change color, it's time to give the yard some love. So bring on fall with Lowe's. Right now, save $5 to $10 on select Scott's Turf Builder fertilizer and grass seed to get the lawn prepped and ready for the season. And then turn things up with the battery-powered Ego leaf blower starting at just $199. Fall is coming fast and there's work to be done, so hurry into Lowe's today. Selection and pricing vary by location. While supplies last, offer valid through 9/30, U.S. only.
Well, good afternoon. The police are still active working the following accident: 600 block of Shelby Avenue there in East Nashville, 300 block of Harding Place, that's in front of the library there in South Nashville, Murfreesboro Pike at Ransom. They're in the clearing stages of that accident. All the major outbound routes are pretty heavy right now. Check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike, online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. We still have a few more minutes before we turn things over to Braves baseball. By the way, if you're going to be out and about this weekend drinking with friends, the bottom line first and foremost, don't get behind the wheel. Drunk driving is the ultimate form of unsportsmanlike conduct. So if you've been drinking, pass your keys to a sober friend. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. As far as my weekend picks, as far as against the spread this weekend, first of all, tomorrow I like Georgia Tech plus the 7.5 against Central Florida. Tomorrow night I like Louisville at home to get it done against the Hurricanes Miami. So I'm taking Louisville, giving the 2.5. I'm also taking South Florida not to win against Notre Dame, but just something tells me Notre Dame, just like we saw them struggle a little bit last week, they did finally pull away and win by 14 against Duke. They're 25.5-point favorites tomorrow at home. I think it'll be an easy win for Notre Dame, but 25.5, just not quite sure if Notre Dame is on the right page early on. I think they'll struggle just a little bit more for another week. In the ACC tomorrow, I'm taking Wake Forest on the road, plus the 2.5 against North Carolina State. I like Duke a lot at home. They're giving Boston College the 6. In addition, I like Appalachian State. I thought it was a nice win against Charlotte. You go, okay, it's Charlotte, and they had to struggle, but they get the win. I still think that Charlotte is much better than people think. Tomorrow, I like them on the road. I'm going to give Marshall the 5. As far as the NFL coming up on Sunday, I like Tennessee to take care of business, to make it 7 straight at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. As a reminder, too, they've won 7 out of the last 9 meetings. Although, you know, watching Jacksonville last Sunday, you know, they don't do a lot of good things on offense or really defense as well. But the bottom line is they got the W, and that's the only stat that really matters. I like Jacksonville plus the 7.5. I think that they, you know, they'll lose the game, but I don't see Tennessee blowing out the Jaguars on Sunday. I like Indianapolis to bounce back. I'm going to ride the Phillip Rivers train one more time, so I'm going to take Indianapolis, give Minnesota the 3, and then finally in the AFC South, I'm going to take Baltimore and give Houston the 7. I think Baltimore goes to 2-0 on the road against Houston, and Houston digging themselves that 0-2 start after starting the year with Kansas City and then Baltimore. Big thanks to our visitors to the show today, Lee Sterling, handicapper with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Also, Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline and Sportsline.com. As a reminder, don't forget, coming up tomorrow morning, another installment of Prep Football Talk, Greg Pogue, Craig Ladd, Coach Bubba Spears, and then pregame coverage for Western Kentucky at 10 tomorrow morning with kickoff just after 11. And then game 2 of the series between the Braves and the Mets coming your way at 5:50 as far as the pregame, with first pitch coming up at 6:05. On the way next, Braves baseball as they take on the New York Mets. Max Fried, the left-hander, on the mound tonight for the Braves, 6-0 on the year, 1.98 ERA, going up against Steven Matz. He is with the Mets, 0-4 on the year, 8.63 ERA. The Braves entering action this weekend, 29-21, 3-game cushion over the Miami Marlins, and 4.5 on the Philadelphia Phillies. Once again, I hope you have a great weekend, everybody. And as always, we know you have choices, and we appreciate you joining us each and every week. We'll see you back here once again coming up on Monday at 4, right here on Nashville Sports Radio. But before we get to that, we still have a little bit more time because of Braves baseball, as their time is at 6:10 as far as, so we're getting ready to join their pregame coverage, having a little bit of a delay, so we'll get to that in just a second. Once again, as far as picks with Lee Sterling, in case you are looking for free picks, you know, once again, his game of the week, Troy versus Middle Tennessee State. You can reach Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com at 800-400-9741. That's 800-400-9741. Now, don't forget, start your Monday morning off Reaction Monday, Bill King Show from 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the John Burton Show from 9 to 11. Then Jim Rome will come your way from 11 to 2. And then right before us, the George Plaster Show from 2 to 4. And then we'll be back with you again on Monday at 4. We'll be talking about a win by the Titans. We'll be talking about crisper play. We'll be talking about whether or not Corey Davis was able to step it up, knowing that A.J. Brown, not a part of the equation. He's going to be out. We definitely know he's out as far as Sunday is concerned. And this could be one of these injuries that lasts for a couple of days, or a couple of weeks, rather. So something to be paying attention to with regards to that. So that's something to be paying attention to for the Titans, looking to start the year 2-0 after their nice win on Monday night. All right, on the way next, Braves baseball. Have a great weekend. Do me a favor. Make it count. We'll see you back here on Monday.
WPDQ. Thanks, bro.